Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Sacktown Royalty Show. I am your host, Tony Zapteris, and joining me on the podcast this week, Kings season ticket holder and recurring guest slash friend of the show, Jill Adge. Jill, it's been a few months since we last spoke. The Kings regular season is here. They're 2-3. They're playing wildly better than I could have ever expected at this point in the season. And while I expect another shoe to drop here at some point and things to fall off and guys are playing well to start playing poorly because that's how the Kings season always goes, I'm going to certainly enjoy the good basketball and the optimism while we have it. So I'm excited to record a podcast with you today and talk some Kings. So let's get right to it. How are you?
Good, yeah. Thank you for having me on again. Fresh off a win, I'm doing good.
Yeah, second night of a back-to-back, the Kings defeated the Memphis Grizzlies 97-92 on Wednesday. Kind of a slower game considering the pace and speed and crazy scoring we've seen out of the Kings through the first four games before that. But I don't know. I'll talk about my thoughts on the Kings early this season after you go. But I think everyone's kind of optimistic and happy with how the Kings have played thus far. Jill, what have you liked?
Yeah, I mean, especially if you consider that we have the third hardest schedule so far, and being how young we are and still growing, being 2-3, we've pretty much shown that our defense isn't really there, but because we're young and we can run, that if we can do that for the full game consistently, that we almost tire essentially the other team out, and we're able to get that grit kind of win. And it was nice to see, especially yesterday, being that, you know, it was back and forth and then they were down for a good part of the game. But the fact that, you know, that didn't disrupt their confidence or anything like that. I mean, they kept playing, and I'm sure it helped being at home and having the fans there and things like that. But it was just nice to see the young guys that even when things weren't always going their way, that they've been able to bounce back like that. We haven't really seen that recently. So, it's really nice to see. Bagley, we can, however, for sure seeing that second jump that they're talking about. We didn't really get to see it in summer league, but now that you're seeing it, you know exactly what was being highlighted definitely during the draft process and all that. And to me, he's been, I mean, the bright spot. I wasn't sure what we were going to get out of it. I mean, it's only four games, but that's gone really well. And then been really happy with how the two signings have played as well. And Yogi has been able to come in and provide good backup for Fox, especially while Bogey's been out as well. And then Bielitsa, who I was a big cheerleader for during free agency, it's nice to see him kind of come out and do and show what he was capable of when he played over in Europe. And that was one of his big things when he was with the Timberwolves, is he didn't feel like he was being utilized to his best ability. And we're kind of seeing him being utilized right now really well. So it'll be interesting to see if that keeps continuing. But so far, I mean, that's been a great signing for the price. And then Fox, I mean, geez. I know we were all hoping for that bump up in his second year, but he has surpassed anything that I was hoping to see through the first four games. And especially with how well he's running this team. I mean, and yesterday in the fourth, he just took over the game. And it's nice to see because we haven't really had anybody like that since DeMarcus left. We haven't had anyone that was demanding the ball, saying, I want it during this time, and I want to actually close it out. So it was really refreshing to see that. And then Harry Giles, I'm surprised, but I'm not really surprised. I think a lot of people forget that, I mean, these are his first, what, five games in the league since, what, almost 2 years? Mm-hmm. And he weighs a good 50 pounds less than, what is it, almost the top five centers in the league that he's had to go against. And his size is nowhere near what it needs to be yet. But that's understandable, too, because he has been rehabbing and he hasn't been able to have these off seasons like a normal player would that's been healthy. And so I think people might be frustrated maybe just because of all the hype that has been put on him so far, where if that hadn't happened and this is just a young guy coming back from a 2-year injury in his first 5 games in, would people be so shocked or frustrated? Probably not. But I feel bad for the guy. I mean, you look at him and nobody is feeling worse right now than he is. And you could see he wants it so bad. And that could be part of the issue too, is he's trying to do too much. But you still see flashes of what he can do too. I mean, he's getting good shots if they just start falling. His basketball IQ is still there. You're seeing the flashy passes at times. But I also think it's hard too, him having to go in with Bagley and you're having 2 young guys, again, having to face Adams, Gasol, Jokic, AD. I mean, Gobert. Like, those are your first 5. That's a tough pill for, you know, just everyday guys in the league, let alone, you know, people coming in with your first 5 games of the season. So, but overall, I've been extremely impressed and very optimistic to this point.
Yeah, like you said with Giles, who is struggling, he's been going up against these gigantic centers that even, you know, the Kings' biggest sized center in Willie Cauley-Stein is struggling to keep off the glass or out of the paint. And Dave Hager said in training camp that he was using Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles in different positions. And if you kind of read into that a little bit further, you could tell that Dave Hager was viewing Harry Giles as a backup center, and he was viewing Marvin Bagley as like that power forward, or even sometimes out on the perimeter at small forward, like we've seen.
Right.
Not very effective this year, but we've seen it a little bit. But boxing Giles into that center position, I think, is contributing to the struggles. And like you said, he's being very hard on himself, you can tell, on the court. And last night was the first time where, like, I was watching him play, and it seemed like, all right, this guy looks pretty frustrated with how he's playing right now. So, you know, I'm not too worried about him just yet. Of course, it's very early, and like you said, you know, he hasn't had a full off season after playing to know what he needs to work on. So hopefully he's learning a lot in this kind of rough starting stretch. But aside from Giles kind of not playing how we thought he might, considering how good he looked in Summer League and in the preseason, so many guys are living up to the hype, or at least playing at expectations, but most of them are exceeding expectations, like you mentioned with De'Aaron Fox. We're only 5 games in, but if these are the kind of numbers and production the Kings are going to get all year from guys like Fox and Buddy and Willie Cauley-Stein and Marvin Bagley and Bjelica and Yogi Ferrell, I mean, that's the top of the Kings' rotation right now, and they are all playing either where you would expect them to, or in most cases, above where you would expect them to, which is a huge sign of good things for the Kings. And you're seeing, like, the national media starting to pick up on it, and the word they're using for the Kings is frisky. Like, the Kings are pretty frisky right now, and that's a good way to put it, because they've been in most of these games with the top of the Western Conference. They've won 2 out of 3 for a beginning schedule that we all saw, like, before the season started and thought this could easily be a 2-8 start or worse. And they're 2-3. You know, Oklahoma City win might look a little inflated because at the time we thought they were really good. They're 0-3 right now, so they're, you know, kind of in a rut. So maybe you don't say at that point the Kings had beaten like a top of the Western Conference.
And it was Westbrook's first game back too. Yeah. So that always takes a...
But
yeah.
Even still, the schedule's going to break in your favor sometimes, and it's going to not break in your favor other times. And for what the Kings have done, you can't look at this and be unhappy with what the Kings have done so far.
Agree. And I've been really impressed with what Dave has done. I mean,
exactly, yeah.
I know a lot of us were unsure if he'd ever be able to run a fast-paced team. And, I mean, he's proven us all wrong, at least so far. So, I mean... Yeah, I've been really impressed. And I haven't had a big issue with his rotations as much. Mm-hmm. The first game, yes. But, I mean, since then, it's not a glaring issue, at least at this point. It will be interesting to see what happens when Bogey comes back, mm-hmm. how that alters.
That's the other thing, too. Because
the lineup.
You know, we talked about how good players have looked so far. But if you really want to look at this with an optimistic lens... You've got Bogdan Bogdanovic coming back here relatively shortly, who, in my opinion, was the best player on the team last year. So you're adding a very good player at the biggest position of need right now, which is kind of small forward or out on the wing. So that's, you know, that kind of increases the Kings' potential that much more. And then also you got a guy like Harry Giles, who we've talked about his potential so much. I don't expect him to struggle all year like this, so there's a little spot where the Kings could theoretically get better. And for as much as Dave Joerger has done to increase the pace that this team has played at, and for as well as the Kings have done a bunch of other things that we'll talk about that I kind of didn't expect them to do this well this early in the year, they still aren't shooting a ton of three-pointers. Their three-point percentage is really high like it was last year, but they haven't figured out a way to add more threes into their offense. So I guess that's my way of saying that while the Kings are 2-3 and playing really well, if you're a really optimistic Kings fan, with Bogdan coming back, Giles maybe improving, and those three-point shot attempts going up, there is still room for this team to get better. Has anything outside of Giles been disappointing to you?
Not really. I mean, being that these guys are young, you have your frustrations with Justin Jackson, but yeah, he's also had some, we put together a couple good games as well. So that was nice, but I mean, that's kind of everyone piling on him. But I mean, I really can't be upset at a 2-3 start with our schedule, with the teams that we've had to play so far, especially running a new system. I mean, even Willie, he's just been more than I thought so far. And I'm scared because, in a sense, I don't know if it's just this is a contract year or if he's finally figured it out. I mean, I guess that would be my really only, I don't know if I'd say pessimistic, but I'm still kind of leery about it. That is this really going to happen? And if that's the case, are we going to try and trade him where at his value, I guess, would be at its highest right now? Or are they serious about seeing how he fits long run with the team? Because right now he does look really, he fits really well. But that's what scares me, is paying him that money long term.
Yeah, we're going to have to keep watching Willie Cauley-Stein. He scares me too. It's like I'm watching like a Jenga tower that's like about to fall over. Like I'm trying to keep Willie Cauley-Stein up. Like, I don't know where this season is going to go for him. Through five games, it's been awesome, but Willie Cauley-Stein has had stretches like this in the past. So I'm waiting for that to fall. I'm waiting for Willie Cauley-Stein to crash down back down to earth. He hasn't done it yet. I mean, the guy's averaging 16.5 points, giving you 7.5 rebounds. And he's battling up against those centers we've talked about, Steven Adams, Marc Gasol, Rudy Gobert. He's not necessarily outplaying them, but he is competing with them and almost making that matchup even, which is something we could not have said about Willie Cauley-Stein and the elite centers in this league last year. So, you know, he had such an impressive offseason in terms of his workouts, at least what he told us. He made it very clear very often that he was working very hard this summer. And it's nice to see, at least through five games, that it hasn't been all talk. But I would also agree with you in Justin Jackson as being kind of the other point of disappointment, I guess. Only because he doesn't seem much improved over last year. And I kind of liked what Justin Jackson did in his rookie year, in that I could see a player that you could have in your rotation as a wing if he could just figure out that three-point shot. Like, that was the one thing he needed to figure out and add during the summer. And at least through five games, it's still the thing that's holding him back. I know last night in Memphis, there was that one corner three. The Kings were either down or just barely had the lead at that point, or they were mounting their comeback, and Justin Jackson had this wide open three in the corner, and it hit the inside of the rim and the backboard. It was so off. And to his credit, he came back down a few minutes later and hit one of those corner threes. But it was still one of those corner threes that, when you're a team coming off the second night of a back-to-back, you're trying to get this home win, you're mounting this comeback, you're almost there, you're almost past Memphis, and you've got this wide-open three from your wing. This is what wings need to do in the NBA in 2018. Wings have got to be able to hit that corner three. And Justin Jackson, in the time where you needed him to make a play like that, he was just wildly, wildly off. And that was when it hit me. It was like, man, this guy just doesn't, that corner three, that spot where he needs, is just not there yet. And he hit one later, so, you know, you can just chalk that up to it being a bad shot. But he has missed those wide open corner threes a lot, even still in this season.
Yeah, and I almost had more of an issue with it. When you miss that bad, you know you can tell.
Yeah.
Usually when it's that far off. And instead of like running after the ball right after he shot it, he kind of put his head down like, damn, like there goes another one. And it was funny because even Grant was like, go after the ball.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, like, I mean, you can just tell he gave up on it. But my biggest thing with him too is when the shot hasn't been there, then fill up your stat sheet in other ways. And last night, I thought he did a good job of that. I think he had, what, 7 or 8 rebounds?
Yeah, you're
maybe
right.
A little bit more. So he found other ways to actually contribute. And that's my biggest thing with him right now, that if that's not falling, then show up on the defensive end and get rebounds. Like, show it somewhere else. Because if we're going to be playing you that many minutes, you got to show up somewhere.
And he's logging a ton of minutes. He's at 28.5 per game so far. But he's had a couple nights in the high 30s. And Jaeger's playing him kind of out of necessity. I do think Dave Jaeger likes Justin Jackson for whatever reason. He's complimented mm-hmm. him many times in the past, despite not showing up in the stat sheet. So there's something that Justin Jackson does that Dave Jaeger really values. And he, like I said, he's playing a ton of minutes. But he's got to put something in the box score. And for a while, he hasn't. You're right, last night, to his credit against Memphis, he did hit the glass. And his offense did kind of come around towards the end of the game. He started hitting a few shots. So I'm not totally out on Justin Jackson, like I know a lot of people are. But it has not been, for the opportunity that he's getting right now with Bogdanović out, he has not grabbed that opportunity and made it seem like he's a player the Kings need to play moving forward. And I would say the same thing for Scalabissier,
right,
who hasn't had as much opportunity as Justin Jackson. But when Scal has had that opportunity, I just haven't seen a whole lot out of him that makes me think that the Kings need to find him minutes in the front court logjam.
One thing I do hope to see is when Bogey does come back is, we saw this a lot last year, that when Willie was struggling and they were on the floor together, he put him in such good positions that when he comes back, I really hope that they do give him minutes with Harry and see if you can turn something around using that, or even putting Bielitsa with him. I mean, putting another high IQ guy down there with him and try just putting him in better positions to see if that somehow, you know, increases the confidence or increases his production of play. But we saw that a lot last year between Willie and Bogey. So, I mean, I'm curious if you could get that same result with him and Harry Giles.
We've talked about what the starting lineup is going to be all summer long. And Dave Jaeger has gone with, for the most part, De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, and either Iman Shumpert or Yogi Ferrell as that Bogdan Bogdanović replacement for now, mm-hmm. with Nemanja Bjelica and Willie Cauley-Stein. How do you feel about that starting lineup in theory, and how do you feel about how they've played so far?
I think the starting lineup makes sense, and I've been happy with it, especially with Iman, his last couple games. He showed that, you know, he was getting his game legs back under him too, and looked night and day, you know, the last two games compared to the first one. So that's been nice to see. And I think Belly and Willie have a good pairing going right now. I'd be interested to see more Bagley with Willie to see how that looks as well. If they still are contemplating, you know, Willie as a long-term piece, I'd be interested to see more of them two together, because that would eventually be, you know, a big piece of your core going forward. But I do think it'll help once again when Bogey comes back. Because when we don't have Fox or Hield on the floor, the numbers are drastic.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't have, it seems to me, when we don't have one of those guys on the floor, we've seen that our bench can kind of fall apart, or besides Bagley, there really hasn't been a huge scoring threat, especially when JJ's shot isn't falling. So I think that's the only thing that maybe kind of has hurt, is by having to play, you know, Yogi Ferrell, Buddy, and Fox all together, that kind of leaves holes in the bench, you know, until you can get Bogey back. That, I think that's really the only downfall. But the starters' production, I've been really impressed with, especially how fast they're getting up and down the court.
Yeah, the starting lineup is not my favorite, only because I would like to see Marvin Bagley in there. I think he's played well enough. I think at this point right now, De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Willie Cauley-Stein, and Marvin Bagley have been the four best Kings. And I like when the best players are playing the most minutes and starting the game and getting your team off on the right foot. So while I would prefer having Bagley in there, I can only complain so much, and I'm really not complaining at all, because the starters have played well. And if the unit's playing well, then despite, you know, I may want Marvin Bagley in the starting lineup, but I can understand why Jaeger hasn't switched it yet, especially when that switch would likely be putting Nemanja Bjelica off on the bench. And Bjelica has played fantastic on offense. On defense, he's had some struggles depending on who he's had to guard. When he's out on the perimeter, he's getting beat quite a bit. I know Joe Ingles beat him off the dribble like several times in that first game against Utah.
Yeah.
But the thing that makes me really realize how well Bjelica is playing is that I want to see all the bigs play with Bjelica. Like, I think about Willie Cauley-Stein, and I want to see him with Bjelica. I want to see Marvin Bagley with Bjelica.
Right.
And I think Bjelica would help Harry Giles, too, because Bielitsa's got a little bit more beef on him, and he can maybe bang with some of the bigger centers where Giles is a little too skinny to handle, like Steven Adams and Rudy Gobert and those guys. So I understand why Jaeger has been hesitant to remove Bjelica from the starting lineup, because I also want to see Bjelica play with all of the rest of the front court. But I do think at some point here, soon, Marvin Bagley should get rewarded for his hard play. And Jaeger said it after the, was it the Pelicans game? Where Jaeger credited Bagley for how hard he played, and that, you know, he's a guy that doesn't matter where his minutes come from, he's going to go out there and play 100%. And I think the Kings should reward something like that, especially when you consider the fact that he's the number two pick. They have a lot invested in him. A lot of the rookies who are playing well around the league, you look at Trae Young and Luka Doncic, Jaren Jackson last night, DeAndre Ayton, all those guys are starting. Bagley's the only one that isn't. And while that isn't a big deal in the grand scheme of things, because he is playing more than Bjelica, he's playing a few more minutes a game than Bjelica. He's only a few minutes behind Willie Cauley-Stein, so he is getting his playing time. But if I was in my own perfect world and nitpicking with what Dave Yeager's done so far, who I do think Dave Yeager's done a very good job this year overall, I would probably start Marvin Bagley, but I can see why he hasn't just yet, at least while the team is still playing well.
I mean, and he has shown that he can hold his own against, you know, top five of the top bigs in the league. So, I mean, it's been really impressive to see.
I'm hopeful. I'm just hopeful that Dave Yeager, when Bogdanović comes back, that Dave Yeager does not move Buddy Hield to the bench. I know a lot of people want Buddy Hield to move to the bench. I think it might have been Grant Napier, but if it wasn't, I apologize. I think Grant actually said that he thinks Buddy will move to the bench when Bogdanović comes back. It could have been somebody else, but it was someone with that kind of insider information who said that he does think Buddy Hield will be the one moving to the bench. And that kind of disappointed me. I think Buddy has proven through the first five games that he can produce as a starter, because there was some discussion over the offseason where Buddy Hield was better off the bench or in the starting unit, because last year he was better off the bench. But I think Buddy has done enough to kind of tell me that this guy deserves a longer look as a starting guard in the NBA. And I just hope the move is move Bogdanović into that small forward spot. Let Shumpert and Yogi Ferrell play off the bench. Whoever you want to play off there is fine with me. And move forward with Fox, Buddy, and Bogdanović out on the perimeter. And, you know, I don't know which way Dave Yeager's going to go, but I hope when Bogdanović comes back, that's the direction.
Our best guess is whatever he's going to do.
Right. Figuring Dave Yeager out. Has there been anything surprising to you? I know kind of all of this is in some way surprising, but has there been any one player, one skill somebody's shown that you didn't expect, or something the team is doing that you thought, hey, this is kind of, I didn't see this coming?
Yeah, I would say overall the kind of grittiness that the team has had in continuing to stay in games, or even when they have been ahead, that they've kind of weathered the storm of, you know, the run that the other team makes, but they've been able to keep it going. And so far, I mean, for being young guys, that's been really, really impressive for me so far, that again, that they've been able to weather the storms and then the grittiness to get back in games. And you can see they're learning to try and how to close out a game. I mean, and not make the stupid mistakes at the end. Prime example last night. Mm-hmm. But we see that, and that's usually an issue when it comes to young guys. So But I just hope to keep seeing that kind of, I mean, to use Memphis terms, that grit and grind that we've seen through the first five games. But I think that's been, to me, the most impressive part so far, is that they've been able to stay together and keep going.
Coming into the year, we all hoped Dave Joerger would increase the pace because if you look at the roster, this is a team that should push the ball and run. So while I am surprised that the Kings have gone from the bottom of the league in pace to at the top of the league in pace, I'm not shocked because that is how they should play. But coming into the year, I thought that there was no chance that this team would be able to get to the free throw line because they just don't have players that attack the rim, or at least they didn't. And that's why, you know, part of the dialogue all summer was, how do we get this team to play fast and take more threes? Because those are the two things we know this offense can do. They have played fast. They haven't increased their three-point frequency like we talked about already. But what they have done surprisingly well, to me, is get to the free throw line, which I, you know, in my wildest optimism coming into the year, I never thought they'd be sitting third in the NBA in free throw attempts. De'Aaron Fox is getting to the line. I tweeted it out this morning because I was looking up at the numbers and it surprised me that Fox is getting fouled on 21% of his shot attempts and Marvin Bagley is getting fouled on 19.5% of his shot attempts. And that's top of the league for both those positions. So you have a guy in De'Aaron Fox who's getting a ton of respect from the officials in year two at point guard, and Marvin Bagley, your second overall pick in year one, 5 years into his career, who's getting the kind of respect from the officials of the elite bigs in the NBA getting to the free throw line on 19.2% of his shots, which is just, I mean, that's how you make your offense efficient, and the Kings are doing it. And if I had to point at one thing and say, hey, this is something the Kings are doing way better than I ever expected, and it doesn't kind of seem like a fluke, like all this is happening within the flow of the game, the Kings have put an emphasis on attacking, and the Kings look like a team that's attacking. They're attacking, like De'Aaron Fox is attacking off the dribble, Marvin Bagley is attacking on the glass and attacking in the paint, and there has been no fear from this team going up against, like we said, the biggest and best centers the NBA has to offer. And they're still getting to the line. They're still attacking the rim. And that's something that this team has blown me away in their ability to do through the first five games.
Yeah, that's a great point. Now we just need them to work on actually making the free throws.
Yeah, that's the
best. But
that's the
second
part.
First step is actually getting there. That's huge.
All right, Jill, unless there's anything else you had left to add, I know you have to run. We can end the podcast there.
Looking forward to the game tomorrow. I'll be there tomorrow. Yeah, looking forward to see how Fox does against John Wall.
That'll be fun. That's like that Spider-Man.
Last year,
we're both the Spider-Mans.
Yeah, last year this was the first game that they got booed of the season. So, after that terrible first quarter, I think we had like 7 points or something like that. So it was one of the first couple games of the season. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't totally shocking, but I'm interested to see how they come out against them. And I don't know, I think Beal might have been injured yesterday, but I'm not sure.
Right, yeah, he did.
So we'll see what happens. But,
to get
just
to 500.
See if they keep it going. The place will be going crazy if they get to 500.
Yeah, oh, don't let the Kings get good. Do not let the Kings get good. All right, Jill, thanks for your time today. We'll talk to you at some point in the future, I'm sure.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. I'll talk to you later.
Hurry, boy, it's waiting there for you. Cry out in the night as they grow restless, longing for some solitary company. I know that I must do what's right, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I seek to cure what's deep inside, frightened of this thing that I've become.